Carrie's War by Nina Bawden. It is 1939, at the beginning of the Second World War, and Carrie and her young brother Nick are on the train that is taking children from London to safety in the Welsh countryside. Nick has been sick and Carrie feels like crying. Being Carrie, she stared crossly out of the carriage window at the big mountain on the far side of the valley. It was brown and purple on the top and green lower down, streaked with silver trickles of water and dotted with sheep. Sheep and mountains. "Oh, it'll be such fun," their mother had said when she kissed them goodbye at the station. "Living in the country instead of the stuffy old city. You'll love it, you see if you don't." As if Hitler had arranged this old war for their benefit, just so that Carrie and Nick could be sent away in a train with gas masks slung over their shoulders and their names on cards round their necks. Labelled like parcels, Caroline Wendy Willow and Nicholas Peter Willow, only with no address to be sent to. None of them, not even the teachers, knew where they were going. "That's part of the adventure," Carrie's mother had said, and not just to cheer them up. It was her nature to look on the bright side. If she found herself in hell, Carrie thought now, she'd just say, "Well, at least we'll be warm." Thinking of her mother, always making the best of things, or pretending to, when the train began to move, she had stopped smiling. Carrie nearly did cry. There was a lump like a pill stuck in her throat. She swallowed hard and pulled faces. The train was slowing. "Here we are," Miss Fitzackerly said. "Collect your things, don't leave anything. Take care of Nick, Carrie." Nick clung to Carrie's sleeve as they went through the door into a long, dark room with pointed windows. It was crowded and noisy. Someone said to Carrie, "Would you like a cup of tea, Bach? And a bit of cake now?" She was a cheerful, plump woman with a sing-song Welsh voice. Carrie shook her head. She felt cake would choke her. "Stand by there then," the woman said. "There by the wall with the others and someone will choose you." Carrie looked round, bewildered, and saw Albert Sandwich. She whispered, "What's happening?" And he said, "A kind of cattle auction, it seems." Someone had stopped in front of her. Someone said, "Surely you can take two, Miss Evans." "Two girls, perhaps, not a boy and a girl, I'm afraid. I've only the one room, see, and my brother's particular." "Particular about what?" Carrie wondered. But Miss Evans looked nice, and little like a red squirrel Carrie had once seen, peering round a tree in a park. Reddish brown hair and bright button eyes and a shy, quivering look. Carrie said, "Nick sleeps in my room at home because he has bad dreams sometimes. I always look after him and he's no trouble at all." Miss Evans looked doubtful. "Well, I don't know what my brother will say. Perhaps I can chance it." She smiled at Carrie. "There's pretty eyes you have, girl, like green glass." Carrie smiled back. People didn't often notice her when Nick was around. His eyes were dark blue, like their mother's. She said, "Oh, Nick's the pretty one, really." Miss Evans walked fast. She was a little woman, not much taller than Carrie, but she seemed strong as a railway porter, carrying their cases as if they weighed nothing. Out of the hall, down the street. They stopped outside a grocery shop with the name Samuel Isaac Evans above the door, and Miss Evans took a key from her bag. She said, "There's a back way and you'll use that, of course, but we'll go through the front for the once, as my brother's not here." The shop was dim and smelled mustily pleasant. Candles and tarred kindling and spices, Carrie thought, wrinkling her nose. A door at the back led into a small room with a huge desk almost filling it. "My brother's office," Miss Evans said in a hushed voice and hurried them through into a narrow, dark hall with closed doors and a stair rising up. It was darker here than the shop, and there was a strong smell of polish. polished linoleum, a shining glass sea with rugs scattered like islands. Not a speck of dust anywhere. Miss Evans looked down at their feet. Better change into your slippers before we go up to your bedroom.
We haven't got any, Carrie said.
She meant to explain that there hadn't been room in their cases, but before she could speak, Miss Evans turned bright red and said quickly, Oh, I'm so sorry, how silly of me. Why should you? Never mind, as long as you're careful and tread on the drugget.
A strip of white cloth covered the middle of the stair carpet.
They trod on this as they climbed. Looking back from the top, Carrie saw the marks of their rubber-soled shoes and felt guilty, though it wasn't her fault. Nick whispered, She thinks we're poor children, too poor to have slippers, and giggled. Carrie supposed he was right. Nick was good at guessing what people were thinking, but she didn't feel like giggling. Everywhere was so tidy and clean, it made her despair. She thought she would never dare touch anything in this house in case she left marks. She wouldn't dare breathe. Even her breath might be dirty. Miss Evans was looking at Nick. What do you say, dear? She asked, but didn't wait for an answer. Here's the bathroom, she said, proudly it seemed. Hot and cold running water and a flush toilet. And your room just by here. It was a small room with two narrow beds and a hooked rug between them. A wardrobe and a wicker chair and a large framed notice on the wall. The black letters said, The eye of the Lord is upon you. Miss Evans saw Carrie looking at this. She said, My brother is very strong chapel, so you'll have to be especially good Sundays. No games or books, see. Except the Bible, of course. The children stared at her. She smiled shyly. It may not be what you're used to, but it's better to get things straight from the start, isn't it? Mr. Evans is a good man, but strict. Manners and tidiness and keeping things clean. He says dirt and sloppy habits are an insult to the Lord. So you will be good, won't you? You look like good children.